let's get a view from Malcolm Nance, who's a former US intelligence officer and author of The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election. And Malcolm, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Thanks very much for joining us. What do you make of the events this week then, the emergence of the possibility of a video, Mr. Trump very strongly denying it? I mean, is this the kind of thing that does go on with intelligence services?
Well, absolutely it does. And I'm sure most of your listeners will remember back to an old movie called From Russia with Love with James Bond. Mm. Scene in which he is in bed with somebody, and there is a wall of glass and a KGB video team right behind it, smoking cigarettes and filming everything in the room. These activities still go on. And for Donald Trump to categorically state that he does nothing and did nothing, and that nothing was surveilled, and that he's a germaphobe, well, that may or may not be true, but for the most part, Russian technical surveillance is excellent. And he doesn't have to be in his hotel room. He can be anywhere, meeting anyone, and they can have systems and sensors on him, which could get more than enough compromising information, whether it's by his phone, Bluetooth, or internet.
And this has happened in recent years, has it? Is this still something that Russia would do?
Sure. As a matter of fact, the technical definition of this activity, the Russians call it, is kompromat, which is Russian for to be compromised. And when they say to be compromised, they mean to be compromised because we have videotaped you, or we have intercepted your emails or your phone calls, and we find something you're trying to hide and expose it to the public. There's a famous case earlier this decade where the Russians needed a private corruption prosecution judge put out of business. So they videotaped him having sex with two girls, sent it to him, and all corruption investigations under him ceased.
And we're presumably, if anything did happen, we're talking about a few years ago, when back then Donald Trump was a business person, maybe a TV celebrity, would Russia and the Secret Service have been interested in getting something on him back then?
You know, absolutely. I wrote this in my book, and it's interesting because Chris Steele, the former MI6 officer who did his own private assessment, came to almost the exact same conclusions. And my book has almost been validated by the CIA. It came to the precisely exact same conclusions about Russia's influence on Donald Trump. In 2013, they would have seen that they loved him in Russia. He had the TV show The Apprentice on. He was greatly admired by the Russian oligarchy, which is their super rich billionaire class. He went there for the Miss Universe pageant, and the son of one of the most richest oligarchs made a music video with Donald Trump at the end firing him. They would have seen him as a colorful character who would have been influential in American politics, but wouldn't have seen him as a presidential candidate at that time. But Russian intelligence doesn't care. If you are a high-value personage, a billionaire, they will exploit your private communications and private activities in an effort to take advantage of the country, of you financially, by beating you in the market or getting secret information on purchases or just keeping that in a folder. The old KGB has never ceased to exist. They've just got better computers now.
And is it more useful to have material, compromising material, and not release it, so you've got that kind of leverage over somebody, or is it more common for them to put it out into the public domain?
Oh, it's always more influential to not release it, but to at least let people know that there is information, whether it's through hint or inference, or even a report like this.
Right, so that's exactly what's happening then.
Right. It's intimated that it's quite possible Russia could have put that information into Chris Steele's dossier in order to get the hint to the Trump campaign that they have data. And it may not be that.
So even if it's not true.
Right. Well, even if it's not true, this is the activities of foreign intelligence agencies. This is what they do for a living.
Do you think it will leak out if there is anything?
I'm not so concerned about the videotape. I don't know whether that's true or not. And of all the things that were in that 35-page dossier, it's most, you know, the guessing game here in Washington is to figure out what was in the 2-page dossier that the CIA and the Director of National Intelligence believe was accurate information on compromising activities and intelligence that the Russians have on Donald Trump. Things will leak out because right now, I mean, even today, Donald Trump's spokeswoman, Kellyanne Conway, was intimating that these secrets and things that are being leaked out should be kept away from the American public, quote unquote, in order to protect them. Well, that's not actually a quote. That's a paraphrase. But in order to protect them. No, secret information is generally not done to protect us. It's to protect our sources. And she has a political point of view that, you know, covering up information is good for politicians. Well, it's not, because all that does is makes it far, far worse.
What would you say to, I've got a number of Trump fans who are tweeting very, very actively at the moment. They're listening to what you're saying, and they're saying they're basically saying we shouldn't even be discussing this, that this is fake news, that it's all made up, and we shouldn't even be debating the possibility of a tape if we don't know it exists.
Look, we're not talking about the tape. I don't even particularly care about the tape. There were other things that were in that report which are far more scurrilous, far more damaging, and far more realistic. There's one reference where where supposedly in communications with Donald Trump or someone in their campaign, they offered at the request of the Russians to report on the activities of Russian oligarchs, their purchases and their activities in the United States, their business in the United States. Now, that might seem benign from a business person's point of view, just one thing that you get from, you know, doing business from another person. But to the Kremlin and Russian intelligence, that's espionage. That is chargeable under the Espionage Act in the United States if they are collecting and reporting, no matter how innocently, for a hostile intelligence service. So for all of those people who think this is fake news, the security of the United States and, by extension, our NATO allies and other interests of the United States in the world is not a joke. And the problem that I have now is that I see these Trump supporters are much, much more loyal to Moscow and the former director of the KGB than they are to their own nation.
If something does come out, actual facts rather than, you know, nudges and winks and so on, do you think Donald Trump could survive anything now?
Well, it depends on what comes out. I mean, if it comes out that he was, you know, innocently or inadvertently or was intimidated into reporting for Putin or was actually carrying out the bidding of Vladimir Putin, no matter how much he believes in their ideology, some of his activities, some of his beliefs are literally 180 degrees out from 70 years of defense policy. It's almost like they were written by Moscow. And his embrace of that is nothing short of suspicious. And I mean suspicious to the point where I want to know, where did he learn to believe that NATO should be disbanded about 10 years after NATO came to our defense on 9/11 and helped us in Afghanistan? I mean, that's a Moscow talking point. That is not a talking point of the American people. It never has been. I mean, some of these things are so suspicious that they're leaning towards sinister.